Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
So LeBron is now a Laker. Isn't that awesome, everybody? Nice article by Nikki in The Athletic about Emmanuel Sanders, and Mark was just talking about it. Probably last year for Emmanuel Sanders here, but I love the fact that he's here and working with Case Keenum over at Regis. I don't know how Regis won the bid over Valor, but congratulations to them. Rockies, 3-3 on the road.
Not bad.
That's okay. Giants here tonight. Kyle Freeland against Madbum. That should be cool. Nice night for baseball down at Coors Field. And an interesting conversation, I think. If Peyton Manning didn't come here in 2012, who were the other free agent quarterbacks? Big Sexy, you got a list of who those guys would be?
I do. Top of the list, obviously, Peyton Manning. Second, Alex Smith. Mm. Then Matt Flynn. Kyle Orton. Chad Henne. Sean Hill. Jason White. Charlie Whitehurst. Dan Orlovsky. Caleb Haney, Josh Johnson, Vince Young, Brady Quinn, Rex Grossman, Drew Stanton, Charlie Batch, David Carr, Josh McCown, Luke McCown, Byron Leftwich, Derek Anderson, Chris Redmond, Kellen Clemens, John Beck, Matt Leinart, Jordan Palmer, Curtis Painter, Richard Bartell, and David Garrard.
Well, I'd say there'd be two or three candidates there that the Broncos would have looked at, Al, that they would have thought, well, they might have thought all those guys were better than Tim Tebow, frankly. But let's be honest, if it wasn't Peyton Manning, it would have been one of those guys, right?
Yeah, I like Alex Smith.
Yeah, I do too. Where did Smith end up going?
Kansas City, huh?
Was he with San Francisco and then he went to Kansas City? He resigned with San Fran.
He resigned, okay. And then was traded?
Yeah, so, he resigned a three-year deal there.
So what would life look like if... Listen, Elway wasn't going to stay pat with Tebow, let's be honest.
No.
So it was going to be one of, if it wasn't Manning, it was going to be one of those other guys, correct?
Yeah.
I mean, when you heard that list, did you hear, how many guys on that list would you consider better than Tim Tebow?
I would say all of them.
Okay. So certainly one of them was going to, you know, be here. So you know we might not have had 6 years of you know, dilly-dilly. I mean, it would, John Elway was going to turn the page on Tim Tebow no matter what. You know, we might have got Alex Smith. Who knows?
The problem with Tim Tebow was that he threw a great long ball. I mean, he was a great thrower of the deep ball. He really was good at that. But anything that moved between, you know, like crossing routes or any you know, he couldn't lead receivers. Like, that was his big deal. He couldn't lead receivers. And it was the most bizarre thing that I ever saw. Because after practice, he would throw to targets that were, you know, targets that were just standing still. I'm like, no, tell the receivers to run, move left to right.
Well, he would literally throw at goalposts.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you, your problem is that you can't hit a moving target. If somebody's, you know, if you ran like a stop route, he'd hit you. But if you ran like a crossing route, a shallow cross, he had a problem with those things.
Tebow, back in the day, the Broncos training camp schedules were way different than they are now. Now, by the way, if you saw their training camp schedule, every practice is 9:30 to 12:30. But back in the day, the Broncos used to have like
2
these,
o'clock.
Yeah, late afternoon, sometimes nighttime practices. And I mean, in the fading sun around Dove Valley with the rabbits coming up to chew the green grass, like Don Quixote, you know, thrashing away at windmills, you'd see Tebow circling the field throwing at goalposts.
Well, don't forget that year, 2012 especially, D-Mac, you were pounding the table for the Broncos to go out and draft Russell Wilson in that draft.
I was. Because in my mind, he would compete with Tebow, he'd win the job. And then Tebow, whatever.
So can you imagine if the Broncos didn't go out and actually sign Peyton Manning and had the ability to go out and draft Russell Wilson?
Well, what would have been ideal, for example, is to get Alex Smith and draft Russell Wilson. How's that for a plan? I don't think we're sucking for 6 years with that as the quarterback plan, Al.
No. But, I mean, Alex Smith at that time, remember now, did not have any success in the NFL.
Whatever. But, pick whoever you want.
Hey, but,
pick whoever you want of that list that he just read that and, you
and
liked.
Then, and then
David
Russell,
Garrard. And Russell, then add Russell Wilson as a draft pick.
You know what it also shows you, though, is that how badly coached the 49ers were, because Alex Smith may end up being a Hall of Famer. When it's all said and done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
When it's all said and done, end up being a Hall of Famer.
I think he's got to win a Super Bowl for Washington if that's
the case.
You think Alex Smith may end up being a Hall of Famer?
Oh, the numbers are going to be there.
Well, he's going to have the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards every year.
Whatever
the rest
you
of
think
his
about
career.
Alex Smith, he's been a starting quarterback. How many years has he been in the NFL? Same as Aaron Rodgers, right?
Yeah.
12, 13?
Yeah, something like that.
He's been a starting quarterback the whole time.
He could be a Hall of Famer.
Let's go to James. Hi, James. You're on the Fan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Super.
I wanted to gauge your guys' reaction to the fact that Paxton Lynch is our backup, and if anything happens to Keenum, which, knock on wood, that doesn't happen, but that he'd be going in.
But what do we think about Paxton Lynch as a backup? Awful.
Yeah.
Terrible. It's a horrible choice. They should have drafted one. But that's just me, D-Mac. Alfred, what do you think about Paxton Lynch as a backup?
I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful that he gets the kind of confidence that he needs. Because that guy was lacking confidence. Like, that's his biggest setback, is that he didn't know what he was doing. And they basically told him he didn't know what he was doing. And he didn't get... Not, you know, he doesn't have a lot of believers over there on that staff. You know, I mean, the only guy that really believes in him, I think, is John Elway. You know, everybody else is, you know, we heard the offensive coordinator last year Rich Gannon said that, you know, they're playing Paxton Lynch because he had to, that decision was over his head, meaning I want nothing to do with this selection. And so when you have the offensive coordinator, both coordinators, by the way, Mike McCoy didn't believe in him. Okay. And Bill Musgrave didn't believe in him.
And Rick Dennison didn't believe in him.
Rick Dennison did not believe.
He really didn't believe in him.
Three coordinators didn't believe in him. So if you got
Gary Kubiak didn't believe in him.
Did not believe in him. So the only guy that really believes in him is John Elway. Right? So
yeah, apparently.
How do I feel about him going in the game? If he gets his confidence together, then I think that he's going to be fine.
It is funny that Elway does believe in him so much more than all those other guys.
Yeah, but the only way that you get confidence in this game is by getting reps. Like seeing it once, seeing it twice, seeing it three times. Now you know exactly what's supposed to happen.
By the way, per Mike Kliss, the contract of Broncos senior personnel advisor, Tom Heckert, expired. He has told Nine News he will step away from working to focus on his health. Tom, unfortunately, has had some very challenging health issues, so we wish him the best there. This leaves Gary Kubiak as the lone senior personnel advisor on the Broncos staff. Along with Matt Russell, I guess. Gary has a lot of influence these days over at Dove Valley, Al.
As he should.
I will commend the Broncos for making massive organizational changes in this offseason.
I mean, they basically have retooled the entire coaching staff.
Yes.
And they have made Vance Joseph happy. And I think that what they've done...
Have they?
Yeah, because guess what? If there is something that needs to be discussed, I think that, you know, Vance Joseph feels really comfortable with Gary Kubiak.
Okay, cool.
And Gary Kubiak and John Elway are besties. So, you know, if the head coach needs to say something about this or that, you can have that conversation with John Elway, or you can have that conversation with his teammate from CU. And Matt Russell.
Yep.
You know, and he has Gary Kubiak's got his back. So, I mean, things right now are, they're good. Plus, you know, the offensive coordinator isn't running, you know, isn't trying to, you know, run some crazy style of offense that jeopardizes wins and losses every week.
Right. And Emmanuel Sanders, who's working out with Case Keenum out at Regis, says, Case is, we're going to get great at a couple routes instead of trying to be a mediocre at a ton of routes. So we were able to take certain routes and just run them over and over and over again until we get great at it. They're already working at making things a little bit more simple. All signs are great, right? I mean, all signs are terrific.
Yeah, right now.
It also shows you, based on the changes and what the changes are, it shows you how messed up things were last year, doesn't it? I mean,
remember this time last year, I was talking about this coaching staff and who I believed in. And remember I said, I don't believe in Mike McCoy. I don't know who Joe Woods is, and I don't know how Vance Joseph is going to end up in his first year. How about that?
I remember, too, like behind the scenes at this time last year on The Fan, we were thinking about themes for training camp, and it was easy. The decision. We knew it instantly at the end of the OTAs because Vance Joseph more or less said
5%.
5%, right, yeah. Right. And like, and we were stunned. We were like, are you really?
Like, you don't know enough about these guys to say that this guy is your guy going into training camp?
From a sports talk perspective, we were stunned that we were just handed this on a silver platter. You know what I mean? Like, this was amazing. Now, it wasn't great for the team. For talk radio, it was terrific. Because anytime you have... And I believe it was one of the only quarterback battles in the NFL last year.
Mm-hmm.
The Vance Joseph and the staff clearly said this is the decision. You know, we have to make this like it's a political sort of thing. It was ridiculous. We're like, okay, you want to just give this to us in terms of sports talk radio? Sure. We predicted it. We said, what did we say about Trey? He's never going to lose this competition.
Right, no, if you're talking about just throwing passes and catching passes.
Because we'd already seen it.
Yeah, he's gonna win that.
Easy.
He's going to win that competition all the time. The leadership part, he's got an issue.
Yeah, but there was nobody to compete with him on that either. Then he was, voted a captain. I think the Russians had something to do with that.
You know, I'm trying to wrap my...
Maybe there's some bad emails. I don't know.
Wrap my thoughts around this 2018 football season. This 2018 football season is going to be what? And I said, you know what? 11 wins should do it for us to get into the playoffs. And I think that we win, or at least we finish second in the AFC West. There is a big reason for that. And the reason is that Case Keenum is not going to take a lot of sacks. He's not going to turn the football over. And when we look at that as just a formula, okay, don't take sacks, don't turn the ball over, and and the guy who I believe is going to power this team is going to be Freeman.
Rolls Royce.
That's right.
Roll it, Royce. Sure, great.
That's my biggest takeaway from everything that I've been studying about the Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings had the second most attempts in all of football last year running the football. Now, it's great that Case Keenum had a great year, but even then, the second most attempts mean that we're going to run it.
Oh, yeah.
And so when I look at this team, I'm telling you right now, we're going to run it.
No doubt about it.
And I don't know who can win this running back competition early on, but at some part, Royce Freeman is going to be our starting running back. Because
sure.
You need to have a guy who can make somebody miss and make big plays for you.
Let me read you the projections about running backs. You know, they were projecting from a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew they existed? Saquon Barkley projection. Should want to lead the league in rushing. Rookies led the NFL in rushing the last two seasons. Dallas's Ezekiel Elliott in 2016. Kareem Hunt last year. hey, Al, rookie running backs run the ball.
Yeah.
They contribute.
If you are talented and you can if you can pick up the pass protections, because it's not really running the ball that gives you the right to be in the game, it's being able to protect the quarterback and blitz pickup is why you get the job.
Projection on Sony Michel becomes the no-doubt starter. Oh, sorry, I got to sneeze here. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I do. Sorry about that. Sorry. Becomes the no-doubt starter by midseason after rotating with the stable of tailbacks in September and October. So the projection, Sony Michel takes over that bell cow position, I don't know, week five, week six, something like that.
I think he starts day one.
He may. So for you to say Royce Freeman is going to have that kind of impact, I say, why not?
I think what
Rashard Penny, last year's FBS rushing leader, doesn't lead the NFL in rushing, but he eclipses the Seahawks running back, leading running back rusher by week three. Running backs make impacts right away.
Right, and it makes sense that you take them early in the draft nowadays with the new collective bargaining agreement.
Well, you probably only get 4 or 5 great years out of them.
There you go.
Because that's and the position.
And you can lock them. Look, just think about it now.
So why waste time?
Le'Veon Bell, you know, the best thing for them to do with the Steelers is what? Pay him a long-term deal?
I don't think so.
Well, that's right.
I think that's insane.
I think that, you know, you want to do something like that. You want to make sure he's around. But you know that time period is it's not far away from, you know, a potential injury. So draft another running back in the first or second round, transition him, franchise tag him, and then keep him for 6 or 7 years. I mean, it doesn't make sense that that you keep running backs under these heavy contracts, except for a guy like maybe Le'Veon Bell and LeSean McCoy and, you know, the older running backs. Those two, you start thinking about it. But when we start thinking about our running back, Royce Freeman, okay, what the Broncos want, and we have, I think, the youngest running back room right in the entire NFL.
You're right.
And what the Broncos may want to do is start with Booker to give him, you know, the reps because
whatever
he's a veteran.
Whatever you want to do. But there's you'd be a fool not to use Royce Freeman a lot.
But Booker, man, Booker is a old school throwback running back. You know, like when we start talking about, you know, 3 yards and a cloud of dust, that's the kind of running back he is. And what we need is we need a game changer. That's why we drafted Royce Freeman in the third round, to be a game changer. Okay, Booker was drafted, what, in the second round, right? Was Booker in the second round?
I believe so.
Not going to work. He's not that guy. When I tell you he's not that guy, he does not have that kind of movement. He's not that elusive. To me, our running back position here in Denver has been woeful at best over the, you know, there's not a running back group that you would take. The Broncos running back group is the worst in the AFC West. When you consider who we play against and the talent that they have.
I would say this. With the quarterback situation the way it is, with you going with a great draft, with the projection that Bradley Chubb could possibly get 10 sacks, with the running back you believe in and the success young running backs have had and a commitment that's sure to happen.
Run the rock.
With everything that's lined up the way it is, if this team starts out any worse than, I think if this team is 500 after week six, I think Vance Joseph is in trouble. I think this is set up so nicely for a great start with 3 of your first 4 games at home. I just think that, man, VJ has a short rope.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do.
No, I don't think so.
And things are set up. So the only person that you could blame if the Broncos get off to a pretty good start, is the head coach.
No, I don't think so. I don't look at it that way. I look at this team.
Well, who else would it be on, Al?
Well, I mean,
who else could it possibly be on at this point?
Listen,
if they get off to a bad start, if they're 3-5 by week 8, if they're 3-5 by week 8.
But why would they be 3-5?
Because you lost 5 games. You lost.
I know, but I mean, you have to look at this schedule and. and be optimistic.
It's not a world beater schedule.
Well, no, it's not. But also, you got to understand that this team will be as good as its running back group. When I tell you this team is going to be as good as its running back group, because they need to run the ball. They need to run the ball because their defense is going to keep them in every game. Their defense is going to keep them in every game. You run the football so that you can minimize the possessions from the other team. When you take away possessions from the other team, it also, you know, if the games around here are done before 5 o'clock, that means that we have run the football and won the game.
Al, have you lost your mind? 5-11 to 11-5 is not happening. It has happened in the past. It's not that unusual historically for teams to be able to turn it around.
Wow, I mean, am I hearing doubters? Am I hearing non-believers? I think that's what I'm hearing. Listen,
people may not believe
me. Negative Nancy alert.
People may not believe in Vance Joseph.
Negative Nancy alert.
This is not what this is about. This is about winning on third down. This is about winning on third down on both offensive and defensive football.
Vance Joseph has so much protection this year as a head coach. He's got so much protection.
How much protection does he have, D-Man?
It's so much protection that all my jokes are dirty with the protection sort of thing. I can't even get to a clean joke in my head. He's got so much protection, he's better than the Belgium defense. And the second half against Japan. Because soccer players are awesome.
Yeah, this running back group.
Seriously, what does Vance Joseph have to do this year?
I think he's going to do what he's supposed to do.
Which
he's
is what?
Win.
Right. I'm just saying, you got Gary Kubiak kind of watching your back, different than previously. You've got more experienced position coaches. You've got
you got guys you believe
in. You got a defensive coordinator, Joe Woods, who I think is terrible, but you know,
Joe Woods did not have a great year last year.
But he's a nice dude, but he is a terrible defensive coordinator.
The offense didn't help them at all. He did not have a great year last year, but the offense didn't help them at all.
I don't know what Vance Joseph has to do. I mean, I think he has to talk to the press after practice. I mean, what else is there?
I think that when we go through training camp,
he's not calling any plays.
It should be a nice, boring training camp this year. It should be nice and boring. It should be a lot of,
Yeah, but when you look at how the things are structured now, Vance Joseph has almost, he doesn't have a whole lot to do. Not really.
What do you mean? The head coach is the coach of the coaches.
Yeah.
So he's just got to coach his coaches up.
I guess.
I'm not a...
Watch, Gary Kubiak will be coming in with game plans, you know, on Monday and be giving them to Musgrave, and they'll be
maybe,
like...
Maybe. And that wouldn't be the worst thing. And guess what Gary Kubiak's specialty was? Running the rock.
Oh, yeah. It's all going to happen.
Running the rock. Not going to probably have a game where you're going to have a bunch of 300-yard games, but we're going to run the rock. If that's the case, how can you not love, you know, Royce Freeman? Because we need to have a guy, when he touches the ball, something special can happen.
All right. Well, there you go. Good stuff out there. Projections for the first rounders. Good article by Nikki about Emmanuel. I hope Emmanuel heard every word I said about him today.
He's a great player.
He just can't be your leader. That's all. He's not a leader.
He is a great, great player. I mean, he's so sudden.
We'll see.
To me, he's by far the best receiver we have on the team. And if he can work it out where he can get more targets from Case Keenum, man, he's going to have a huge year. Look for him to have like 1,300 yards receiving.
Did the Rockies help themselves out over the weekend? Where do we stand with Nolan Arenado? And what about the Nuggets and not getting LeBron? Are you devastated? It's The Drive on The Fan.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage, special circumstance lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Were you trying to get crazy with this, eh? Don't you know I'm loco?
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Hey, we have ESPN on here in the studio. We're having a classic moment that can only happen in the National League as the bases are loaded in the top of the second inning in a interleague game, and Porcello, the American League pitcher, is hitting because it's the second inning. It's 0-2, and let's just see Al how he strikes out. It's not a question of if. Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord. Shut up. Porcello just drilled it over the left fielder's head on an 0-2 count.
Stand up double.
Oh, my God. Did that just happen?
Yeah, because you were talking smack about it. That's why it happened.
Oh, my God.
Bases clearing three, double by nothing. The pitcher.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe that just happened.
Help your own cause.
I cannot believe. And they just threw the ball out because that's his first hit ever. He barreled up an inside fastball. I am stunned. Look at Scherzer. He cannot believe. Look. That is a nice swing. That is a really nice swing from Porcello. Wow. All right. Oh, he's got six hits on his career? Okay. Wow.
Porcello hasn't hit an RBI since 2009.
Now he's going to steal to third.
Sure, why not? Okay, there you go. Never mind. I cannot believe that just happened on an 0-2 pitch. I can't believe it happened. Dude, that was crazy.
Hey, there's one, you talked about Emmanuel Sanders working out with Case Keenum, but there's another running back that's working out with them, too. It's Philip Lindsay.
I saw that, yes.
Philip Lindsay's going to make this team.
I hope so.
He's going to make this team, watch. And he didn't. I mean, you talk about a guy who has a chip on his shoulder, didn't even get invited to the combine. I got to find out where his numbers rank all
the
time.
You got to cut D'Angelo Henderson?
I don't know. But if D'Angelo's not here and, you know.
What do you mean not here?
He's not here. Is he?
Oh, I don't know.
If he's not here and Philip Lindsay is learning everything with Case Keenum, then I would think that. But don't forget now. Don't forget. Philip Lindsay is also a returner. Both punt return and kick return.
Okay.
That you win on special teams?
So we've done this exercise before, but I'm happy to do it with you again. Who are your running backs?
I would say
Royce, Devontae,
Lindsay.
Okay. What about David Williams, your draft pick?
Practice squad.
Okay. What about D'Angelo Henderson?
That's going to be the one. I think it's going to be Lindsay. So gone.
Henderson gone? And so you're keeping Jano.
I sure would like to keep Williams and then let Jano walk.
You just put Williams on the practice squad.
I know.
Cut D'Angelo Henderson, and you kept Jano on your 53.
I didn't say I kept Jano.
Oh, what do you do with Jano?
You release him, too.
So we're going to go with three running backs.
Three running backs, one on practice squad.
Okay. I don't know, dude. You could be right. I don't know. I don't know why you drafted David Williams, then.
Even if you kept him, you know.
Why not draft Philip Lindsay then? I mean, you easily could have.
I know. It's
a seventh round pick. Why
I
didn't,
know, man. I'm that's
so
crazy.
So you realize that they like Williams a little bit more for some reason than Philip Lindsay.
They thought that maybe they couldn't sign him and they took him.
That's right.
And maybe they knew they can sign Philip Lindsay.
Well, I'd like them better.
Or, you know, you draft him so that nobody else can have him.
Whatever. You liked him better than Philip Lindsay. However you want to slice and dice it, you liked him better than Philip Lindsay. I think it's hard to make the team. I mean, maybe you just are so spectacular. And you're letting go of D'Angelo Henderson, who was by far your most dynamic guy last year.
You know, if it was me.
So I don't know why you'd do that either.
If it was me, I would probably just go ahead and let Booker go and keep the group together.
I understand, but you know that's not going to happen either.
It's not going to happen because they need some kind of veteran presence. Not going to happen. But that's what I would do. It makes more sense. I mean, the more talented, the guy, the better.
And that's why they should just release Jano. Just cut Jano. He can't hold a candle to the athleticism of D'Angelo Henderson or David Williams or Philip Lindsay. He just doesn't fit.
We've seen Philip Lindsay have some huge games.
I keep Philip Lindsay. He's a dynamic player.
He's the all-time, all-purpose yards leader with 5,760 yards. And from scrimmage, he is 4,683. the guy had a great career at CU.
Yeah,
he finished as the second leading rusher of all time at the University of Colorado.
I've seen enough. He's on the team. Get rid of Jano. I'd keep D'Angelo Henderson and Philip Lindsay. I'd keep as many dynamic players as you possibly
can. Right. But you got body types.
But I think it's going to come down between Henderson and Philip Lindsay.
5'8", 190.
Here's somebody, cut Jano and have Williams play fullback. Okay.
That's what I would want.
You can cut Jano and have a tight end play fullback.
That's what I want too.
You could cut Jano and on goal line throw in a left tackle as an extra player to play fullback. I mean, there's a lot of solutions here. Jano just never really made any sense and still doesn't. And I understand other teams like the Patriots use a fullback. But the Broncos just don't have enough dynamic players. Jano's not a dynamic player. I mean, you know, if
we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Says a guy who was awful last year as a coach and was fired. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I mean, I know I was just totally humiliated by my concept of pitcher's can't hit when Rick Porcello, on a 0-2 count as we're doing a little play-by-play, drills a bases-clearing 3-RBI double to left field. Off Max Scherzer, I know, crazy. So Johnny Love, who's getting ready for our Facebook Live moment, comes in the studio and says, hey, you know, pitchers can hit like Bumgarner and Freeland. I'm like, yeah. Look it up, Porcello. He has 5 hits, so I guess that's his 6th hit ever in 36 plate appearances. So his batting average is 156 for his career. So you say, well, Bumgarner, he's good, right? His career batting average is 180, which is superstar status amongst pitchers. Kyle Freeland, who we know is a stunningly good athlete, is hitting 131 in 92 plate appearances. I actually had somebody, Al, suggest to me, why don't these guys just take more batting practice?
Because they're working on pitching.
And I said, well, that would be a good idea if you had a DeLorean time-traveling machine and you could go back, you know, 10 years ago and they could still take the same reps as everybody else. But they're literally hundreds of thousands of swings behind. Now you say, hey, D-Mac, jerk, what about Ohtani? And my argument is, sure, if you drop out of school and you practice something, Alfred, 8 hours a day and live like a monk and have no education and nothing to fall back on and do nothing but practice a sport like a South Korean female golfer, you will become incredibly proficient at that too. But thank God, in America, that is very rarely the case. Thank goodness. And I'm not saying these guys who are pitchers aren't great athletes. Of course they are. I mean, they're incredible athletes. But the proficiency to hit major league hitting, Al, it's insulting to think, why don't you just take a few more reps in the batting cage? But, you know, every now and then, Rick Porcello hits a bases-loaded double and Archie Bradley hits a triple, and, you know, Al, you know, it happens every now and then, and I'm not going to argue with you. Madison Bumgarner has 17 home runs in Major League Baseball, which is awesome. But he's currently hitting zero this year.
0 for 12.
We'll see what happens tonight at Coors Field. Maybe he'll get his first hit of the year.
And just really quick, you mentioned Madison Bumgarner's career batting average. Let you know that he has 570 plate appearances compared to the small sample size that you have with Rick Porcello or even Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball.
Look at your worst designated hitter in the American League, whoever that is. And I guarantee you they have better numbers than Madison Bumgarner. Power numbers, maybe not average because DHs strike out a lot, but you know, I guarantee you they're more proficient at hitting than Madison Bumgarner. The worst one. I guarantee you there's not a designated hitter. Now, there are probably position players that just aren't good, right? Like, I don't know what Patty Barrels is doing these days, Pat Valeka. But I guarantee you of the 15 number one designated hitters in the American League, I guarantee you all of them are much better as hitters than Mass and Bumgarner.
Blake is batting 127 on the year.
Meaning he has a hit.
Yeah, but he's like, he's not a DH. You understand? He's just a, he's a utility player for the Rockets.
Blake has 86 plate appearances with 10 hits.
Yeah, he's a fill-in infielder sort of guy. He's a role player. He's like Alexei Amarista. Give me somebody in the American League who's a DH. The worst one you can find. Anyways, it's a moot point. It's stupid to not have the DH in the National League, despite what Rick Porcello just did there, which was really cool that he did it. I got the ballot here, Alfred, for the
All-Star?
Our man, Nolan Arenado. 2.3 million votes. He is crushing Chris Bryant for All-Star votes by more than a million votes. Way to go, Nolan Arenado. He is the number three... Sorry, four total vote getter in the National League. The Braves are on a run this year, and they have three guys. Freddie Freeman, who's got 2.9, Markakis, who's got 2.4, and Brandon Crawford also has 2.3 million votes. He's with the Giants, not the Braves. Although Dansby Swanson from the Braves has 1.1. Braves are having a great year. But look at Nolan Arenado, Al, at 2.3 million votes. One of the most popular players in baseball. And we want to get rid of him.
Oh my goodness. Did we say get rid of him?
You want to trade him. You want to trade him.
Oh, well, when he says he wants out, then you got to get rid of him. Period.
Nothing changed your mind. I saw this week.
I don't care who you are. When you say you want out, I'm going to help you.
The more that I watched the Rockies closely this weekend, the more I was absolutely convinced, whatever you do, do not trade one of the greatest players of all time.
Just let him go out, huh?
Yep.
Let him go out, finish the season.
Yep.
Barry Bonds it.
LeBron James it.
Barry Bonds it.
Take it to the bitter end. I don't care. You just don't get these guys very often.
Barry Bonds it, huh?
Just and the let conversation...
The Pirates, in fact, just let Barry Bonds just walk away. They let Mutombo just walk away.
Mutombo's not one of the greatest of all time.
He's a Hall of Famer.
You could have traded.
Does that count?
Nolan's beyond a Hall of Famer. Nolan's in the, when you have the conversation for best of all time at third base, you have to bring up Nolan Arenado. You can't say that about anybody who's ever played for the Rockies. Besides Nolan Arenado. Try. We've had some great players here. Maybe potential Hall of Famers, maybe not. Todd Helton's it's gonna be tough for him to get into the Hall of Fame. Do I think he should be there?
What about
Larry
Walker?
He's never getting the Hall of Fame.
Larry Walker's never getting in?
Never.
Hmm.
I mean, you want to have a conversation about best right fielders of all time? Larry Walker couldn't get an invite to that room to be in that conversation, never mind be part of it. You can't have a conversation about you, Todd Helton. You want to have a conversation about best first baseman of all time? I can't wait to see how you're going to tell me that he's a better first baseman than Lou Gehrig. I'm looking forward to that moment. But when it comes to best third baseman of all time, You can't even start that conversation without Nolan Arenado, Brooks Robinson, and then you sort of go from there. Sure, Mike Schmidt, you could throw him in there. But defensively, Arenado is so far superior to Mike Schmidt. I can't do it. I cannot trade one of the greatest players of all time
in
the sport.
Let him finish. Just let him finish.
I would. Yep. He's in a class all by himself.
So selfish.
Can't do it.
Not thinking about the franchise.
I cannot do it. I cannot live with a life of getting rid of one of the best of all time.
D-Mac, it's a great run. First day of the week, Monday, beautiful weather outside. Enjoy it, brother.
Of course. Always.
Dick Sexy.
I feel
always
confident because
nice
I'm the best player in the world.
And who's in the back there with you? Dylan, nice seeing you, bro. Hey, man, I'm Big Al. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 3 on the Drive. Good night, everybody.